This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. There was some economic data out of China this week covering the first 2 months of this year. Industrial production over there, also retail sales, are doing about as well as people had been expecting. Longer term, though, there is trouble brewing. China's fertility rate has been dropping for decades. The labor pool has been shrinking since 2012. And last year, for the first time in 60 years, the overall Chinese population fell. So from Shanghai, Marketplace's Jennifer Pak has more on why having fewer people is a problem for the People's Republic.
There's a Chinese propaganda film set in the 1980s when China really started to limit births. It justified the restrictions on economic grounds. We should put our energy into getting rich, says one woman. She sits among a group of people picking corn kernels off the cob. Aren't we getting poorer with each child we have, she asks. The group nods. Chinese leaders enforced, sometimes brutally, the so-called one-child policy from 1979 onwards.
China has just came out of the tumultuous Cultural Revolution.
That's Yun Zhou, an assistant professor of sociology at the University of Michigan.
And the post-Mao leadership thought the economic development would be the new basis for the party's political legitimacy. And based on pseudoscientific and demographic projections, limiting births to one child per married heterosexual couple.
Government statistics show, on average, a woman in China went from having about three babies in the late 1970s to just one. 4 decades on, China's leaders are asking women to have three children again. And that doesn't sit well for Joy Yu, an only child. Over an Italian meal in Shanghai, she tells me it's expensive to raise children, and they're hard to juggle alongside China's long work hours.
For me to give birth to three children, my future husband must be rich enough to make sure I can live well without a job. This is a big challenge.
She says she's not even sure she wants to get married or have children. Fewer people might mean slower growth in China, which will be felt by the U.S. and beyond.
They've now become, you know, the center of the global manufacturing superhighway and are typically the largest contributor to growth every year.
That's Scott Kennedy with the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. He says China's population would have declined even without the one-child policy, just not as dramatically.
It's just simply a rule across all countries that as you urbanize and as you get a more educated female population that enters the workforce, fertility numbers fall.
To encourage more births, the Chinese government has dangled a mix of carrots and sticks, like cash incentives, and making it harder for couples to divorce. Again, only child Joy Yu.
Now, the government organizes matchmaking events, and it's a mission, just like when it enforced the one-child policy. This is so terrifying. Women are being forced back to the home to increase births. It's like, my body isn't mine.
Sometimes the government is asked to step in, like when a woman was found chained up in a far-flung village, or when a group of men savagely beat some women in northern China. Officials were accused of a cover-up. Even women in wealthy cities like Shanghai said they could identify with the victims in the reports. Again, social demographer Yun Zhou.
Those reportings encapsulate a sense of gendered precarity that speaks to women in deeply patriarchal and gender unequal society.
Already, there are fewer Chinese workers. The World Bank says in 2001, China had 10 workers to support one retiree.
In 2020, that was down to 5 working folks for each retiree. And by 2050, it'll be down to 2.
China analyst Scott Kennedy again. He says China still has time to offset the effects of population decline, say by boosting productivity or increasing the retirement age, before it's too late. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.